While we are waiting for the slide to come up, I'm just going to use a few slides to give you a quick perspective so that we have enough time to take questions from you. So just make a very short presentation. Can you get started, Vinny, for the next slide, please? The next. So this is just a recap of where we had left with the last time, and we'd walked through the walk, run, and fly as a philosophy and a way in which we were looking at the business. What I would do now is give you a quick update on areas which there has been progress on. Can you move on, Vinay? So basically in the area of walk, as Pawan mentioned, we have had a significant improvement in and management of our core working capital and capex optimization. We've improved our net variable margin. And through a stringent cost management, we've brought down our costs quite significantly in the quarter compared to the same period last year. So we believe we have managed the cash and cost part of the walk pretty well. By way of starting operations, tractors was at more than 90% capacity utilization through June. Automotive crossed 50% of their manned capacity. About 85% of the dealers have been open and 100% of the suppliers are open, though there are lockdowns from time to time based on local and regional issues. Move on, please. In all of this, we are delighted to share that we have got the rank 20 in the Great Places to Work survey. And this is the 8th year in succession where we, as auto and farm sector, are in the top 50 Great Places to Work. Move on. Just want to take a few minutes because there's so much conversation around the rural growth story. This is an internal index that we have, which measures the total spending in by the government in rural India. It includes agriculture and rural development. You can see the huge uptick that's happened in this index starting from December onwards. And we are that apart from the factors like good monsoon has helped pipe up the rural demand. This data just shows you April, June over the last 4 years. You see that F21, April, June, both agriculture and rural development, there's been a huge increase in the spending by the government. And this is one of the significant drivers of the rural growth story. The two other factors driving the rural growth story, of course, are the very positive rainfall that we've had up until now, and also the Kharif acreage so far this year been the highest in the last 5 years, and it's higher than the previous year by 90%. This graph shows you our sales trajectory in the two businesses. On the FES side, even though July is lower than June, that's a season shift phenomena. You can see July to July, the growth has been 28%. And even in June, there was a 13% growth. The automotive side, you can see a step-by-step movement towards recovery, and the growth, negative growth, so to say, reduced from minus 79 to 53 to 35%. This chart is an index chart which brings out our total system stock. Total system stock is defined as the stock with us, plants plus stockyards plus transit plus dealers. And you can see that stocks for, and this is a combined number for auto and farm together, is at a very, very low number and lower than anything that we've seen in the recent past. A slide on how we've done in FES. You can see we've delivered very healthy margins. We always talk about the strength of FES being its ability to deliver and maintain a certain band of margin, even with industry volatility. So while the industry in quarter one has dropped 13.7%, we still delivered a margin of 20.4%. We have lost market share, and I'm sure some of you have a question on why we may have lost market share. I'd like to just strongly reinforce that it is led completely by supply side issues. Demand is very robust. And there may be times when we may show an increase in market share, and we would urge not to read too much into it in the current context, either up or down, because right now what is governing every player's ability to sell is a function of how much stock they have, either finished goods or raw material, and the ability to ramp up. And everybody will have a different set of challenges from time to time. And we, as we showed you, were able to cross 90% capacity utilization, and our stocks are at very, very low levels. In fact, we may have had almost nothing left to bill at the end of June. And the market share is a resultant of supply side issues. On the auto side as well, though we're showing you a slide on less than 3.5 ton market share going up, again, I would say don't read too much into quarter one numbers, because it is a favorable supply situation that we've had. And the numbers, as you can see, segment wise, also reflect a supply side situation. I'm sure you all will have questions on that, and we can talk more in the Q&A. Take an element of the run right now, and one part of the run focus on core domestic. We've had a very successful launch of the new Plus series in the Mahindra tractor brand. The new Plus series is an upgrade of the old Bhumi Putra and the Sarpanch range of tractors. Both the products have been upgraded, and the response to the upgrades have been very, very positive. And we would be looking at a phasing out to the new portfolio as well. The XUV300 has been rated in NCAP, has got an NCAP 5-star rating. It's also been rated the best car on safety over the last 6 years. Just want to take a couple of minutes and talk about a campaign that we ran through July. It's all digital, and we called it the Mahindra Classics. This is 7 decades of us having created classics. We created a lot of online buzz. Of course, it was also a precursor to the Thar, but it also was 70 years since we rolled down our first vehicle in 1949. We got very, very good digital engagement, over 3 million views of the video that we had put out on this occasion, and 2 million engagements, and several very good online conversations with some of the top auto experts. We are ready to reveal the all new car. It is a reveal, and it will be revealed on the 15th of August, India's Freedom Day. And we believe it's generated some very, very good level of excitement. We put out a teaser a day and a half back, and in a day and a half, we got over 1.5 million views of the teaser video. So it just goes on to indicate the level of anticipation and excitement about the all-new Thar, which is going to come out soon. Yeah, go on. With that, I'd like to hand over to Anish.
Thank you, Rajesh. And good evening, good morning, good afternoon to everyone. One of the benefits of this format is that we have a large number of attendees. We have 290 in total. And while we'd love to have everyone in person, the benefit here is that a lot more can join. So thank you everyone for joining. Let's talk about where we are this quarter, as well as I'll also talk about our journey from last quarter and then where we go forward. So key messages are, one, a strong performance for domestic farm. Revenue decline for the industry in auto, close to 80%, that does fuel high losses this quarter for us. Very strong cash generation, and we are on a consistent path to reignite value creation that we spoke about last time we met. So moving forward to the next page, I just want to reset everyone on the definitions we will use. Domestic farm and domestic auto are self-explanatory. International subsidiaries refer to auto and farm subsidiaries only. And investments are all our listed and unlisted entities outside the auto and farm sectors. So these include Tech Mahindra, Mahindra Finance, Holidays, Life Spaces, and a number of other unlisted entities. Starting with the financials, revenue is down 56%, again driven largely by auto. And we are in the positive on PAT, but barely so. It is down to only 39 crores. And the one highlight here is that OPM has stayed at 10.3%. It is lower compared to 14. But given the quarter and given the volume loss in the auto industry, we feel this is a very strong number. Looking at what changed versus last year, you can see that the farm business was more or less equal to last year, just a 27 crore deficit versus last year, despite having no sales in almost all of April. And as we've spoken, auto really has contributed to the losses here. But international subsidiaries as well as investments are both more or less flat versus last year, resulting in the 13 crore profit that we had. At the PAT after EI level, we had a much bigger number last year of 2,260 crores. That was driven largely by the big block that you see there, which was a share sale in the M&M Trust of 972 crores. And that obviously didn't happen again this year. So it's a negative from a year-to-year standpoint. Domestic auto contributes, as we've talked about. International subsidiaries, these are some impairments taken at the Bana level. And I will talk later about the reason for this. In one line, it's basically because we decided not to bid for the U.S. Postal Service contract. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And a small amount from investments in terms of exceptional items. But the net result at the PAT after EI level is a 68 crore profit. At the consolidated level, revenue is down 37%. And PAT after NCI and EI is in the negative at negative 98 crores. If we look at the drivers of that, here again we see farm more or less the same, auto as a key driver. We see a positive here from international subsidiaries, which is something we haven't seen for some time, honestly. And that's driven by a one-time gain at SsangYong for sale of some assets. And that's driven a positive in terms of the year-over-year number that we see. And again, a small impact from investments. If you look at performance of our investments, TechM has performed quite well in this quarter. Revenue up 5% have held profit at the level of last year. Mahindra Finance, even better, 8% revenue growth, and profit has increased 4x despite putting provisions and making sure that it stays safe through any issues that may come up. Holidays and our real estate business has been hit pretty hard, and you see numbers that are significantly unfavorable there. Moving to the next page. So in terms of our action plan, it stays the same as we talked about last quarter. Tighten capital allocation norms, enforce the path to 18% ROE, define a clear narrative for auto, maintain leadership in farm, and harness value from unlisted gems. While Rajesh has talked about auto and farm, I'll just spend a few more minutes talking about the other 2 points. On the path to 18% ROE, we had promised that we would come back through this year as we are evaluating all our businesses. As a reminder, we had said that we put them in three categories. Category A is a clear path to 80% ROE. Category B is a quantifiable strategic benefit. And category C is a path to exit. We talked about SYMC and Gen Z last time. As a clarification, Gen Z operated from a company called Mahindra Tractor Assembly. So you may see that in some of the annual reports, but that really is Gen Z. Mana, which is our North American automotive business, had been working on preparing for a bid for the U.S. Postal Service contract for the last couple of years. There had been some costs that had gone into preparing for that bid. If we won the bid, it would be a fairly significant investment, much close to $500 million. As we looked at that project closely in the light of the current environment and in the light of our tightened capital allocation norms, we felt that was not the right path to take, and therefore we did not proceed with the bid. And as a result, some of the preparatory costs that we had done for the bid had to be written off, and that's what you saw in the numbers that I presented earlier. We are evaluating other companies, and as we go through the next couple of quarters, we will come back and share which categories those companies fall into. As a reminder, I would also say that category A will be there for some companies. We are seeing good turnaround in some places. And if we do see that turnaround and are confident of the path to 80% ROE, then we will put them in category A and monitor them closely. Let me share a little more about our growth drivers. The gems that we talked about last time, we just shared the names last time, but let me talk a little more about what they do. And then as we go in coming quarters, we'll share some of the numbers behind them and where we see them going as well. Susten is a solar business, really a technology-led utility-scale solar company with a very strong EPC business, both domestic and international. Rural Housing Finance operates in a very different way than most mortgage companies. It's really focused on rural markets and has built a lot of capabilities in working with rural customers and therefore has a large field force, very customer-oriented. Powerall is a genset business that has been growing very well, strong distribution, the leader in telecom, and we see a lot of potential there. Excello is one of the leading steel solution providers in India. The growth potential there is really in auto recycling, and it's the largest player in organized auto recycling today in a joint venture with the government. Agri is a trusted provider of agri inputs, seeds, crop care, irrigation, and high quality fruits, which we export as well. Aftermarket has built strong capabilities for used cars. This is brand agnostic, so beyond Mahindra, and looks to be one of the leaders in the used car space. Classic Legends and Java, you've seen and heard about before. We're seeing a very strong demand there and see good potential for them. Electric, we've been making EV since 2010. With Mahindra Electric, we have the EV technology that we built, and we're looking at three-wheelers as well as four-wheel kits for technology there. Mobility is focused on high quality service for corporate employees with a focus on EVs. And there's a 10th one that we added this quarter, which is Bristlecon. What we're seeing in the current environment is a lot of demand for supply chain. And Bristlecon is a specialist technology provider for supply chain. It works with a number of Fortune 500 customers, very profitable company today, and the cash flow it generates should be sufficient to be able to drive its growth. So these are the 10 companies that we have. Most of them are profitable today, and we'll share more about them as we go through the coming quarters. With that, we want to be the gateway to the largest and fastest growing teams in India. We are very well positioned in India with the businesses we have. And the rural market is shaping up really well. In addition to the focus on technology, the focus on consumers plays to our strengths. And with that, we are on track to reignite the value creation journey that we spoke about. And back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Anish. Thank you, Rajesh. I'll just take a few minutes to reinforce a few points that have already been made by Rajesh and Anish. So I would first say that the quarter performance, I think not just for Mahindra, but for the industry, both auto and tractor, has probably been better than what most people would have expected in the month of April. The tractor demand clearly has been a surprise. I just talked about the reason, so I won't repeat that. And what is surprising is that even with wrapping up production to 92% of full capacity, we're still not able to meet demand. Auto demand is, I would say, not yet tested because supply is only at about 50-60%. Hard to say whether auto demand will go up to the full 100% if supply was at 100%. We'll have to watch and see for next 2-4 months. But we do expect that from here to festive season, we will continue to see a monthly increase in demand and hopefully supply. I'll come to that. collection has been a big surprise for all of us. There was all this fear that we all had about consumer financing and about liquidity for the dealers, the wholesale. And none of that fear has come true and appears to us that the dealers are able to manage the working capital. So that's a very positive surprise. And similarly, the working capital for the MSMEs, which was a big concern and was covered in the various packages that were announced by the Honorable Finance Minister, that seems to have done worked quite well. The rural demand clearly is stronger than urban demand. In fact, for Mahindra in automotive, our rural share was about 62% this quarter, which last year was about 50%. So significant increase in rural share this quarter. And COVID impact, while we all talk about the negativities of COVID, and obviously there are many, but there are some sort of lessons learned that would help us in future, because many myths have been broken, which will lead to fixed cost reduction, which will bring in agility, efficiency, and cost reduction, not just for the period that we have COVID effect, but even after that. And that, I think, will change the way we work, do our business. Hard to quantify right now what the impact will be, but the fixed cost reduction that you have seen in this quarter, not all of it is a COVID effect. It will be a permanent effect as we move forward. So as we move forward to the next few months, the two concerns that we'll be watching carefully will be any supply chain disruption. That is perhaps our biggest concern, both in auto and tractor, because of local decisions on lockdowns or local spread of COVID-19, where our supplies are critical. And also a fear that if COVID-19 spreads in rural area, then that could affect demand for tractor and the rural side of automotive. I just talked about Thar, which is around the corner. We are looking forward to it. And then after that, we have the W601 and Z101. We have not slowed down at all in our EV plans. Everything that we have talked about is being worked upon. The Ford JV is progressing well, but delayed because of state approval that is required. And because of COVID-19, both Tamil Nadu and Gujarat are not able to complete the approval process. Right now, we target October 1st as a date for starting the JV, but it will depend on state approval. Clearly, a prompt action on creating liquidity, which we did in the month of March and April, has paid off. And we are in very comfortable situation, as Anish has talked about. And the capital allocation, again, Anish covered that. They're very serious about it. SYMC, ZenZ, USPS, three big hitters already announced. Now, other things are under consideration. That, in a nutshell, is between what Rajesh said, Anish said, and my sort of closing remarks, covers what we want to communicate to you formally. Now we open to questions.
Thank you, Dr. Anish and Rajesh. We open it to question and answers now. I've got some questions already from analysts, so I will start asking the question, and by the time they would be, taken online. The first question is from Sonal Gupta of UBS. What is the outlook for SCV, small commercial vehicle, and pickup segments? Your volumes in Q1 have been much stronger than the number two player. With BS6, what sort of shift can we see from small commercial vehicle to pickups?
Yeah, so there are two key drivers for the pickup segment and the SCV segment. One is the overall increase in the rural demand, and that leads to movement of goods, agriculture and otherwise. So we are seeing a very positive demand for pickups that's coming out of that. SCV is a very different segment. So SCV demand, we believe, is picking up because of the need for last mile mobility, both personal, but which is not so at this point of time. Right now, it's more goods. So as more and more business is moving to e-commerce, including even FMCG, as we've seen through these months, there is a need for small commercial vehicles which can operate intra-city. And SCV load carriers are a very good opportunity. Of course, there's demand, not a very fortunate thing, but a lot of demand for SCV ambulances. And that's something we're struggling to ramp up to the requirements as well. So in a way, I wouldn't try to get into answering the question of what is the likely cannibalization between SCV and pickups. I'm just seeing these as two very different paths and different target audiences. And the demand for both is going up for the reasons that I explained. Pavan, do you want to add anything?
No, I think you have covered it well. So, nothing to add.
Follow-up question to this?
Sriram, you decide. Yeah. You are the moderator.
Okay, so the next question is from Jinesh Gandhi of Motilal Oswal, and few others also have asked this question, which is more in terms of outlook for FY21 for auto and tractor. Is there any outlook we can provide? And also on the supply side status, both as in July and August, how is it likely to impact that? So, and will it impact the festive season? So that is the type of questions few people have asked.
Okay, Rajesh.
Will it impact festival season? I think is a difficult question to answer, and because that question is difficult to answer, it's also difficult to answer what the growth outlook will be. So I'm just kind of rewinding now and connecting question one and question two. If you were to look at tractors, we feel that just looking at it from a demand standpoint, the industry would definitely have a growth year. However, given the uncertainty on supply, we wouldn't like to give out an outlook, because that's something we've got to wait and watch. But as you can see, we were able to pull out for us a 28% growth in July. And of course, that's reduced the stock positions for us even more. On the auto side, as Pawan said, and I'm just reinforcing again, the demand is not fully tested, but we're seeing a lot of positive demand for all products which are rural based. Scorpio, Bolero, pickups in particular. On the urban side, even products like XUV 300 and so on are doing well. We unfortunately have had a great supply side challenge in some of our competitors, because we had very little stock coming in the, through the BS6 transition. Given that our portfolio was diesel and we were transitioning through Feb and March, first due to the COVID situation around the world, which happened for India, and then the Indian lockdown, plus a fire at one of our suppliers, led to us having very little opening stock as we got out of the lockdown. So right now our focus in both tractors and auto is to produce as much as we can. We are operating from a context right now that the business challenge is about ramping up supplies, and demand will be reasonably okay. We do see a focus and need for personal mobility pretty strongly. Of course, it will be at the entry level, but we also expect that there will be a demand for larger vehicles as we get into people wanting to follow this social distancing even within their vehicles. We ourselves are very pleasantly surprised with the high level of positivity on and anticipation on the launch of Thar, as Pawan said. And that is in a way an indication of customer sentiment. Because if customer sentiment was not positive, you won't expect this kind of a positivity on announcing a date of teaser. So we're certainly not seeing customers vary of wanting to make purchases. That was a concern we may have had in April, but as things have opened up, that concern we believe is behind us.
Just want to add one thing to what Rajesh said, that on the supply side, it's not like we are having problems all over the place. If we have, let's say, 100 suppliers supplying for a tractor, we have no problems with 90, 7, 8 remaining can be managed with a little bit of work from our side. Not a little bit of work, a lot of work from our side. It's only two or three that are critical. And therefore, as long as we can manage those two, three, we are home free. Same thing on auto side also. And these two, three suppliers are working extremely hard. They have the constraints because of absenteeism or because of COVID-19 in their plants or because of local shutdown. But we are hoping that we'll come out of this problem as long as the spread of coronavirus does not get worse from where we are.
Next question. Thank you. Yeah. Next question is on the capital allocation. A few people have asked this question. By when can we hear more updates? What will we do if some loss-making businesses have capital requirements before we can make a decisions? And as a part of that, third question is, how is SsangYong deal progressing?
So the three parts to that. First, by end of this year, the fiscal year, 31st March, we will have a clear answer on all our companies. And that's something we promised before. As I've said before as well, we want to make sure we do a very detailed evaluation. This is not a cursory look at the company. We have teams working in many of these companies looking at what are the levers to be pulled and will they be successful or not. You also have to see early successes before we can say that it's on a path to profitability, which is why we are not rushing to answers. We are taking our time to look at a fair amount of detail, and we will come back by the end of the year on all of our businesses. The second part to that question is, do some of them need capital? We have looked at it. There may be some that do need a little bit of capital. There is no major investment that is being done without that detailed look, which is where also for Mana, we decided not to bid for USPS. And there may be a couple of other investments we may look at and say we may defer them until we have a clear view of the path of that company. And third, with regard to SsangYong, our position has not changed. Our board has made it very clear that we will not be investing anymore. SsangYong could sell some assets and therefore generate some cash. There is a search for investors that's going on right now, and we are hoping that that is successful.
Yeah, thank you.
Just to add to that, in any case for SsangYong, we have drawn a very firm line. So whether there is an investor or not, we will not be putting in more capital as committed by our board.
Okay. Thanks, Anish. The next question is on tractor margins. So we have done 20% margins with only 65,000 volume. Do margins have more upside? We don't generally talk about margins, but the question is coming as on, you know, whether there's an upside to the margins from here.
It's a difficult question to answer for the following reasons. Firstly, Sriram, you said that we don't give a guideline on margins and definitely don't want to get drawn into that. I think when you look at quarter one, we have to keep in mind that with many, many things being shut, we were able to have a very tight control on our costs. As Pawan said right in his opening comments, we would try to bring in a mechanism by which we are able to lock in a lot of the savings. And what we really have to see as we go forward is what of these savings are we able to lock in and what will come back to business. So let's take the example right now. If demand is so much higher than supply, we're obviously not going to spend on marketing or promotion. And in this period of time, we've really cut back all marketing spends and promotion. But when you come back to a situation where supply is equal to or greater than demand, which is the normal state of operation, then there is going to be an effort from all OEMs to bring in sales promotions and marketing support, which is gone in the current context. So I think there may be a lot of savings in fixed costs that we are able to hold on to non-marketing. Example, the savings in travels, conferencing. So all of that are savings which we will try to lock in most of that. But what we really have to see is what happens to sales promotion and marketing as we go forward. So that's a broad kind of guideline on how we look.
I just want to add that one of my fears was that when we open up, will there be irrational clamor for volume and market share by OEMs, which is not the case because the demand is good and therefore no irrational clamor. And that's the point that Rajesh also made. Now, again, as Rajesh said, we cannot say what is upside, but we are happy that we have improved our margin even with lower volume.
Question is on EBIT, standalone EBIT margin of automotive. So the question is there any one-off write-off in automotive EBIT margin in standalone?
Write-off meaning what?
Is there any one-off? I think the EBIT EBIT was negative. So the question is whether there is.
Okay. Nothing major, right, Anis?
No, on the standalone, there is no on the auto side.
Yeah.
Though, just want to add that the EBIT should be seen in the context of a revenue which is more than 75% down, and without naming any peers, we believe our EBIT performance actually on the auto side is pretty good given the extent of revenue drop that happened. A lot of the revenue drop that happened was really because of almost 2 months getting pushed out.
Yeah, in spite of one fourth revenue, we have more or less maintained. I think not more or less. We have maintained our variable margin and significant reduction in cost to have a reasonably low loss at EBITDA level.
Thank you. There are some people have asked question on status on MVML merger as well as Ford joint venture. What is the status on status on completion of that MVML merger as well as the Ford?
So on the MVML merger, it's going on track. We had just received one of the approvals that we're waiting for. Now I think it's a matter of a month and a half, perhaps before it's all completed. There are no roadblocks. Okay. Of course, slowed down because of COVID-19, because many of the government offices were shut down. On Ford, I have already answered in the beginning that we have slowed down because of state government approvals not happening. But that is only the formation of JV that is slowing down. Our work is not slowing down. So everything that we're supposed to do in the JV, complete planning is happening. The business plan is being developed. The people movement is being planned. The projects are progressing. So all the work is happening. Just that the physical or the legal handing over from FIPL to the JV is stuck for this want of state government approval. Right now, our best guess is 1st October. But again, that depends on when we get state government approvals.
OK. The next question is on how big a challenge is CAFE and RDE for M&M? Is it going to have much lower cost than BS4 to BS6 transition? And will Ford JV also give us access to Ford technology and future products if required?
Okay, let me take a crack at it. RDE, cost of RDE. So RDE is not a technical challenge. It's just time it will take to develop it and the cost we will incur. It's very difficult to give a number on cost because it depends on many different factors that will come in. For example, what is the RDE factor that the government finally decides on 2.1 or 1.4? But my best guess right now will be of the order of 10,000 rupees will be the impact on impact of RDE on the cost of vehicle for SCR emission. I don't want to get into too much technical detail. So let's assume 10,000, which will be about April 23 is when we expect RDE to become applicable. On the CAFE side, right now, again, there is a discussion going on when the new CAFE regulation will come in place because of everything sort of coming to a standstill because of COVID-19. But all the same, we are working on meeting the CAFE requirement and electric vehicles that we are working on and that we hope that by the time CAFE regulation comes, we'll have a substantial size of electric vehicles. So the substantial fleet will also obviously help. But otherwise, we are looking at many different things. And clearly, we will be in place to meet CAFE requirements by the time it comes. But it's not a single solution. It's multiple things that we are doing. For example, 48-volt hybrid might come on some vehicles. Electric vehicles themselves will help. Improving efficiency of diesel and gasoline both. Direct injection gasoline engine, DDI, all of these things will help in meeting the fuel efficiency now. And the technology, of course, with the partnership that we have with Ford, we will have more access to Ford technology, but obviously these are two different companies. And therefore, whatever we do will be at arm's length basis. But we certainly have reach to Ford technology.
Thank you. Yogesh, next question is from Yogesh. Yogesh, are you online? Can you ask your question? Okay. So in the meanwhile, there's a question from Binay Singh of Morgan Stanley. What is the diesel share of UVs in Q1? And overall, want to understand the impact of fuel mix change and BS6 on auto margins.
Effect of what?
Effect of BS6 and fuel mix change. Is there a fuel mix change?
Rajesh, you want to say something?
Yeah, I can. So, Binay, 2-3 parts to your question. One is, let me take the diesel mix first. In on the rural side, we are actually in our category of products not seeing any desire or move to want gasoline vehicles in the segments in which we participate. On the urban side, especially in the compact SUV, where we have XUV300, we ourselves have about 35-40% gasoline mix in that segment of product. So there is some shift on the urban side. But like I said, on the rural side and products like Scorpio and Bolero, the customer continues to have a distinct preference for diesel. And those products we are offering in diesel at this point, right? On the specific question of BS6, I think we said that last time as well. We are confident of maintaining our weighted margin and in absolute per unit basis. However, there could be an impact on the percentage margin because of the denominator effect. So basically, we have been able to pass on the cost of BS6 in absolute per vehicle basis, but because of the denominator, we are likely to see a percentage drop. That has not happened in quarter one. And one of the reasons why it's not happened is a more favorable model. So like Pawan said, and I had said in my presentation, we improved our NVM in quarter one.
Let me also give you some numbers on diesel and petrol. In the UVs overall in Q1, the diesel share was about 44% compared to 50% in the previous quarter. But a lot of it is coming from the sub-4-meter vehicles, and sub-4-meter vehicles, diesels were only 31% compared to 42% in the previous quarter. And as Rajesh said, that in our vehicles like Bolero, Scorpio, especially in rural area, the diesel still remains predominantly fuel of choice.
Thank you. Yogesh, can you go ahead now?
Hi, thanks, Sriram. Just two questions, sir. Firstly, on Java, would you be able to provide some color on what's the ramp up in production? Are we stabilized? And when can we expect some high frequency monthly data on Java? And secondly, on the SUV business, since there were some supply issues, as Rajesh mentioned, is there some kind of a order backlog you can share which can help us quantify the pent up from the missed sales because of lesser supply?
Rajesh?
Let me take Yogesh. Hi. Let me take the UV question first. Let me first put it this way: there are some models we've not even brought to market yet. So Marazzo, and like I mentioned earlier, we did have a fire at one of our suppliers, and we had to start prioritizing. And that was a supplier of lamps, headlamps, and tail lamps. And we had to start prioritizing after the lockdown which models we wanted to get out first. And given the strong rural pull, we had started prioritizing the Scorpios and Boleros. So some of our models we haven't even yet got out. So that's all pent up. Marazzo and XUV500, we've done 500, we've done very small numbers. But some of the other models we haven't even got out. I'm not going to be able to give you a number, but stock levels, like I said, are so low that can't even test the demand for it. And our desire will be to get to 100% of our capacity over the next 3 or 4 months is what I would kind of say. But we do see, Pawan mentioned earlier, some real supplier challenges, and they're all localized. So it could be one supplier having a shutdown for a week or 10 days in a particular area, and somebody else having a shutdown later. Hopefully things will improve and stabilize as we move through August and September, but really don't want to try and put numbers out, except to say that we are seeing a positivity on demand. Pawan, do you want to come in on this before we take the Java question?
No, nothing much to add. I would just sort of contrast tractor and automotive in the supply side. On the tractor, we tend to have multiple suppliers for the same thing. except for two or three very critical things like fuel injection equipment. Whereas in auto, we tend to have single source because very high cost of tooling. And that's the reason you see that auto is more affected than the tractor, which will again be true for everyone. But if they are able to resolve two or three suppliers, or not we, but suppliers, those two or three suppliers are able to resolve their constraint that they are facing, and they are working extremely hard to resolve those, then I think we can see a fairly smooth supply chain. Not that everything is happening automatically like in normal times, but with the effort that our teams are putting in and the extra miles that the suppliers are walking, other than two or three suppliers, I think everything else we are able to manage.
Okay. The next question is from Gunjan of JP Morgan. Can we get an update on US farm business performance? How are we progressing on break-even there?
Okay. Gunjan, right?
Yeah, Gunjan.
Gunjan, we've seen a very positive retail momentum in our US tractor business. Quarter one, we had a growth in retail of about 15%, and July was again very, very good month for retail, and cumulative growth this year is about 22% in retail. We are continuing to take this opportunity to correct our stocks. We have put in also, as we've said last time, several measures to improve our cost structure, and we are reasonably sure that this year we will cut the USA losses by at least. Anything you want to add, Pawan, Anish?
I would just add that there's a lot of work happening on product profitability, on channel profitability, on working with financing partners. And all of that, as Rajesh said, is resulting in the losses being cut by half this year. But in addition to that, we're also looking at what is the path to 18% ROE that we promised.
I think there was a question on Java. Anything you want to say?
Sorry, we missed that in the two questions. So basically on Java, Yogesh, the demand we believe is very strong. You can see the momentum everywhere. We did take a little longer to make the BS6 transition happen, and that's taken time. That's not under control. And we also were affected by some of the suppliers in the Pune region. Some suppliers, based one or two, who've taken some time to ramp up with the labor migration issue. But things have stabilized now, and we hope to see good numbers coming in.
Yeah, Shira, we have a few questions from Pramod Kumar on the Q&A. Should we go to
the next? Just taking it. Yeah. Pramod, go ahead. Okay, so his question here is, can you please talk more about the SsangYong proposal which was cleared by the board?
Today, are you talking about today's proposal?
Yes.
Pawan, do you want to cover that?
Yeah, so basically, as we look at investors, or SsangYong looks at investors and investor come in, there is a possibility that Mahindra will have to become less than 50%. And we look at many different options of bringing funding into SsangYong. And that may require for Mahindra to become less than 50%. And as per the company law, we have to get approval from shareholders to become less than 50%. So this enabling resolution that the board has approved us to go to shareholders and to get that approval from the shareholders.
Pramod, you have a few other questions. Are you on the
Does this answer Pramod's question on SsangYong, or is there anything more you can say?
Yes. Can you guys hear me? Yes, it does.
No, we can hear you. Thank you. Do any follow-up questions?
Okay, thank you. The question is the No, yeah, I have two other questions, Anish. Thanks a lot. The second question is basically, are you open to further alliances in the automotive side, like on the lines of Ford
Alliance? Pramod,
industry is into...
Pramod, there's too much disturbance.
So, I've... I've sent a question. Sriram can read for me.
Yeah, why don't you send the question text form and so, then...
I think Sriram has it, so you can read.
Okay. Can you please share the key timeline for launches in the PV and tractor divisions? Timeline for the key launches.
Rajesh?
Yeah. So let me talk about the SUV key timelines. We had said last meeting that we will launch Thar in the early part of second half, which implies October, November. We should be on plan to do that. As we just announced, we will release the product on 15th August. The specific launch date will depend on the pace at which we are able to ramp up for start of sales. So Thar is ready in all respects and will be revealed soon on 15th August. The next launch in the PV portfolio is the 601, and that should happen in quarter one of F22. And the third launch is Z101, which is in the second half or quarter three of F22. All these three products, we believe, are very core to the brand and have all come out well. They are very refined and deliver on all the values which Mahindra stands for. So we are very positive and very optimistic about these three products that are in the pipeline. Tractor side, we did talk about the K2 changes, the complete four new platforms last time. And the first of those platforms is 2 years away. Otherwise, there will be minor refreshes and so on as we go along. But all new platform launch at the time.
I want to add that you can perhaps imagine the difficulty in doing product development during lockdown, because there's so much collaboration that happens across people, not just within MRVA, but across the globe. And there are suppliers, development people, consultants, tooling, that's happening all over the world for any product. And each of these products are perhaps delayed 3 to 4 months because of lockdown. But now we are reasonably sure on the timeline for the 601 and for the 501. The 101 still is about a year away. So hopefully it will all happen.
There's one more question from Pramod, which is how much of the cost reduction under Project Kuber has been already realized and what is the incremental target post-COVID?
Well, as I always say on cost, there's no end to how much we find, and we are working on several new ideas. We've learned so many new things in the last 3 or 4 months, and things which look like can't happen are all being made to happen. Just to give you an example, we've on both an auto and tractor side decided to close about 30% of our area offices in the field, and for those that we keep, we are going to keep the seating to only 30%. That means everybody else will permanently work remote. So there are many, many such changes in the way we are going to work. And we believe that it's a win-win both for cost and impact. So I'm not going to share a number with you, but there's so much we've learned in the last 4 months on how we can do this.
Thank you, Rajesh. There's a question
I'm just reading the questions from, there's a question from Yogesh Agrawal, which I think is an important question to answer. Are you coming to that?
No, go, you can answer that part.
Okay. So the question was, till the time Ssangyong is divested, would you have to fund the losses? Like the 900 crore losses in this quarter are cash losses for M&M. No, we do not provide any more cash funding of any losses to Ssangyong. As Anish said in the beginning, that we had voted approved plan giving 40 billion won, which is $32 million in April 3rd. And after that, we have not put in any funding of Ssangyong. And Ssangyong is taking care of the losses on their own. You have to bear in mind that bulk of the losses are non-cash because of the very high level of depreciation and amortization. And the cash loss is less than half of the loss that comes in. But again, that's funded by internal generation. Or in this quarter, the previous quarter, there was an asset sale. and they generated over 100 million Korean won, which has helped in funding the losses. So there is no contribution from Mahindra in funding the cash contribution, but of course it gets consolidated in the Mahindra consolidation, but no cash flow.
Yeah, and just to add to that, to expand on it, in fact, as Pawan said, our consolidated losses will show losses from SsangYong till it continues to be a subsidiary. In the first quarter, that was close to break even because SsangYong had a one-time gain in terms of sale of assets. And when it continues to be a subsidiary, there will be consolidated losses. But there are accounting provisions that within this year, if it ceases to be a subsidiary, some of those could be written back as well. So you will see that on the console line, but those are again not cash losses. There's no further cash going out for SsangYong.
Yeah, thank you. There are a couple of questions from Binay Singh again. One is in terms of Mana, is there a complete exit? What have we written off in Mana? And second is, can you share breakup of exceptional item in console?
So those are.
We'll have to make after this. This will be last, but one question. After this, we'll take one more question.
Yeah. Yeah, we have not. We do not have quarterly information that we share. We need to share information consistently across. Going forward, if that's an important part, we'll look at how we share it quarterly. But at this point in time, we will not give information on impairments by subsidiary on a quarterly basis.
The question. Also on the Mana, is it a complete exit? What have we written off?
On Mana, it is not a complete exit. We have at this point decided we are not going to bid for the U.S. Postal Service contract, which was a standalone contract in its sense. And the Roxor has faced some clouds with regard to the FCA litigation. So we have to see that clear up and then see the path there. So that business will have the same evaluation as all our other loss-making international subsidiaries, but there is no decision to exit Mana at this point in time.
There's one last question. This is from Venugopal of Bernstein. Notice a flash on Bloomberg that you are looking for investors for electric unit. What is the nature of divestment we are looking at?
Yeah, so that is correct. This we had mentioned earlier also that we will be actively looking for investment in electric vehicle. As we look at the next 3-4 years of our product development, technology development plan, there is approximately about $100 million worth of investment that will happen in this, and we are hoping that all of that will be generated from outside sources. We are in talks with several multiple people right now, and some of them have already gone into due diligence phase before they can submit a term sheet.
So that with that, we are also at 8 o'clock. So we can close with
just
this.
One second. I'm just give me a minute. I'm just quickly going through the questions.
Yeah.
Anish, you want to answer this question that in the quarter, interest cost generally at 30-35 crore. This quarter, it has been on higher side. Any one offs?
So the interest cost has been on the higher side because at the start of the quarter, given the situation outside, we decided to go and raise some debt just to make sure we had a very strong cash balance. Our debt balance also continues to be on a very, very strong side. And what we are seeing now is given the fact that this quarter, in fact, generated more cash than it used, we will start using our cash to repay some of the loans that we have, to make some prepayments, etc., and bring our debt levels back to what they were, which is very minuscule.
Rajesh, EBIT losses for subsidiaries in farm segment has reduced. Which subsidiary in global farm segment have seen improvement? I don't know if you want to get into that detail.
I don't think we share specific numbers in the quarter wise, but I just want to say that around the world, on the farm side, we've seen positive momentum. I did talk about Magna. Our companies in Turkey saw both, especially the tractor business industry grew over 60% in the Jan-June period. The ag business also, industry saw growth of over 50%. So Turkey as an industry saw positive momentum, and we as we've said earlier, have a strong focus right now on cutting back on losses in FES international subsidiaries, and there's a very strong plan with a very clear direction of profit over growth at this point of time for most. So,
and one
the companies are very focused on.
Last thing again from Kapil Singh, can you please share long-term growth outlook for farm implements business?
So we actually continue to be very buoyant on the farm machinery India business. We've seen very, very healthy growth in quarter one. And definitely with everything that's happened with migrant labor going back and overall shortage of labor in many, many states, move towards mechanization has got further accelerated. And we are preparing ourselves for a very good growth story in farm machinery business.
Okay. And we then close with one last question, which is for capital allocation rationalization. Where do you see low-hanging fruits? The major focus really is on the international subsidiaries, because as we've shared before, that has been a significant part of losses for us. And that's something that we will see a very strong turnaround on as we go forward. So that's the low-hanging fruit. And then beyond that, as we did in 2002, we have a very firm line drawn on financial discipline. And we're seeing all our businesses really start looking at that line and saying, are all our capital allocation decisions meeting the ROE targets? If I were to look at the three things that the management team is going to be accountable for, it's EPS growth, ROE, and free cash flow. So all our decisions are going to be based on that lens. It's not just the ROE, but we have to track EPS growth and free cash flow with that as well.
Thank you. I think with that, we come to the end of this conference. Thanks a lot for everyone for participating in this. I thank Anish, Pawan, Anish, Rajesh, and the entire senior management for being here. Thanks a lot, and have a good evening.
Hey, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Have a nice weekend. Bye.